Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Well, we do have some breaking news here on the Alex Garrett Sports Spotlight. And, you know, we actually recorded part of this, most of it, on Monday, but then I said, Lou Terminello, I got to take Terminello's take on the benching of Zach Wilson. He breaks it down a little later, the performance itself, but the benching now, I mean, was this coming?
Well, Alex, I think after what we saw on Sunday and on the field and post-game, the post-game situation actually had more of a life than the horrendous on-the-field performance. And, you know, New York media is tough. And Wilson didn't handle the media correctly post-game. And some guys can thrive with the New York media, and some guys crumble. I have no idea what's going to happen with Wilson as his career grows, if it's in New York, if it's not in New York. But it was a move that had to be made at this time. Now, I would have gone to Joe Flacco. I mean, I don't know what they see in Mike White. It's a big question mark. Yes, he had that tremendous game against Cincinnati last year. He threw for 405 yards, three touchdowns, but two interceptions. He played 2.5 games for the Jets before he got hurt in that middle game against the Colts. He turned the ball over 8 times. He threw 8 interceptions in those 3 games. Obviously, I'm not at practice. They're at practice. Is he the answer long term? Or he's just a stop-back career backup. Don't know. I don't know. The Jets have a defense that can win now. As we said, they are ahead of schedule on the defensive side of the ball. Joe Flacco, we know he may not be mobile. We know the Jets have pass protection problems. But I think he gives you the best chance to win. Again, I am not at practice, so I don't see what Mike White is doing. He might have improved so much from last year. We'll know right away. But this whole quarterback situation is definitely another Jet question mark. Will Zach Wilson be here next year?
Is this a black eye on another draft pick? I mean, look, they've gone through quarterback, and it just seems like the same old situation again.
It could be, because this isn't the same team. This team has a good roster. That's going to get better as they get more experience on the defensive side of the ball. Look at all the young guys they have on the defensive side of the ball. I don't know, is Jimmy Garoppolo, he's going to be a free agent, is he going to be a guy that they look at? If they do, they would have to cut Wilson loose. You're not going to have Wilson sitting behind Garoppolo, who's, what, 28? And everybody criticizes Garoppolo. The only thing this kid does is win. So I don't know where the Jet quarterback situation is going to be next year. Salas said in the press conference today that this is a reset, a chance for the kid to catch his breath. We're going to get him back in this year. Well, the only way you're going to get him back in, if Mike White and Joe Flacco, if Mike White fails and then they give Flacco a shot and he fails, if Mike White wins, Zach Wilson's not seeing the field until next year in training camp, if he's still on the roster. I'm just curious why it's not Joe Flacco. I mean, unless he didn't look over the hill in those first three games. Zach Wilson has played seven games, and he has four touchdown passes. Joe Flacco threw four touchdown passes in that win in Cleveland. So the fact that the Jets have unexpectedly jumped to a playoff contender in 22 and Zach Wilson is still playing like it's his first NFL game has killed the Jets. The Jets are in a tough spot at the quarterback position. Now and moving forward, they really are.
Lou's going to break down the performance of Zach Wilson, but right now I want to turn to the World Cup.
As you know, I'm wearing a Team USA jersey for soccer, but guess where it was made? Take one guess.
Let me see. It wasn't made in the United States. I'm going to guess it probably was made in China.
So I'm going to post on Instagram. I have a picture of the American flag with the Made in China right above it. I think it's hysterical that we still rely on them, to be honest.
It's ridiculous. And plus the fact that they're a developing country and they don't have to pay into into that new climate agreement. It's crazy. But
we pay $1 billion. We won't get into that, though. But, you know, politics is a big reason why Qatar is a very controversial situation for the World Cup. Maybe you know a little more than I do. What's the deal with the backlash against Qatar?
Well, there was a lot of backlash, and they were awarded the games 12 years ago. It was 12 years ago. So they were awarded the games in 2010, and obviously there was a lot of controversy because of human rights violations in Qatar. Obviously against homosexuals, just a lot of abuses that people don't realize that these things still happen in this world, and they don't realize how lucky they have when they live in the United States. But not only the human rights abuse, but Qatar beat out the United States, which is going to get it in 2004 years from now. I believe South Korea and Australia. I think Australia was the other finalist. And what happened there was they bribed a lot of the FIFA officials, and including Michel Platini and Seth Blatter, who was the president of FIFA. And even Blatter said later on, we made a mistake. Qatar should not have gotten the games. But that being said, they have the games. They're a very small country. Believe it or not, the country's smaller than the size of Connecticut. It's about 20% smaller than the size of Connecticut, which we know is a small state. And a lot of human rights groups over the 12 years have called out Qatar for having the games, called out FIFA for having the games. A lot of people, migrant workers who came to work in Qatar to build these stadiums, a lot of them died because it's very warm in Qatar. That's why the World Cup is in the winter time, not in its usual summer, June 15th to July 15th window, which I think is obviously better from a fan's point of view, but they gave it to them, and now we have to live with it. And but a lot of people died, some of them of heat. You know, it's not a good situation.
I hear the workers are under really, you know, almost China-like conditions, right?
Absolutely.
It's not good. And you know, if you're a U.S. Fan, I still think it's okay to go there, no?
You can't, in my opinion, you cannot let the players, it's a once every 4 years, you can't deprive the players of a chance to play in the World Cup. And I know some players throughout the world, throughout the 32 teams that are in the tournament, didn't want to play in stadiums where they know that some migrant workers, some people died because of oppressive conditions. And I don't mean not only because of the heat, because some people did die because of the heat. Some people died because of construction injuries. But oppressive, a regime that made them work when they probably shouldn't be working. And some players don't want to play in those stadiums, but they're all doing it because that's their career. It's the highlight of their career. You become a World Cup champion. Yes, they're all-star teams. It's not like winning the Premier League or winning the Champions League, but you're a hero in your country for life if you excel in the World Cup.
And Sepp Blatter was kind of ending up a monster in the end of it, wasn't he? I felt like he was.
Yes, he did. And like I said, he a couple of years ago came out and said we made a mistake awarding Qatar the games, but and said it was a bad choice. But it was too late. It was too late. But the summertime temperatures, which are over 100 degrees, so they had to move it. Like I said, to November to December 19th, November 20th to December 19th. But there's all kinds of, allegations of bribery, corruption among FIFA officials. Some of them were caught, and some of them have said that they were unjustly found guilty. But again, the concerns about the human rights abuses didn't matter. It's all about money.
Let me tell you, though, the FIFA corruption is real, and unfortunately, I think we should still cheer on the U.S. just because it is, but also we don't want to encourage this kind of corruption ever again, so how do we avoid it?
Well, the thing is, unfortunately, it's not just it's not a U.S. thing, and it's a worldwide thing, so it's the U.S. can't boycott it. I don't think that would stop FIFA's corruption in awarding this kind of an event. Let's face it, the International Olympic Committee, should China really have gotten the event, the Winter Games, 12 years after they got the Summer Games in 2008? Talk about human rights violations, but NBC is in bed with them because they're the carrier, the media carrier. I'm not blaming NBC, but it's all business. If you watched Fox, you would think that Qatar is the garden spot of the world.
Isn't that unbelievable? Now, we also saw this in Brazil in 2014, so it's sad that nothing's changed as far as cleaning up the internal politics of the game.
Oh, you're right. You're 100% right. And 4 years ago, it was in Russia.
No, I know, and it's just,
and
tell me about the scheduling, because I know this was not supposed to be this year. It's supposed to be earlier, right?
Right. Well, usually it's around, like I said, June 15th to around July 15th. Usually takes a month. It usually is about 35 days after the domestic seasons, like Serie A in Italy, the Premier League, La Liga, the Bundesliga in Germany, they're done. So they have about 35 days to prepare. And then they have about another 6 weeks before the domestic season starts again. This year, the league shut down, and they had 7 days or 8 days to get ready for the World Cup. And then when the World Cup comes to an end, if you get to the finals, which is December 19th, I believe, Sunday, December 19th or 18th, December 18th, the Premier League is going to start on Boxing Day, December 26th. So they're not going to have that break that they normally have, the players, which can lead to injuries. Right now, in my opinion, international soccer has way too many competitions between the domestic league, these domestic cup competition, the Champions League. These teams are playing 60 games if you go that far. it's a lot of wear and tear on these players. And really, soccer is, in Europe, South America, worldwide, is a 12-month-a-year sport. I mean, these guys don't get a break.
And so is the bars opening at 10 a.m. I mean, you know, for Americans, 10 a.m. Guys are there every Saturday, Sunday watching Premier League, watching, you know, every other thing under the sun, EuroLeague at 10 a.m. So that's not a new thing for these bars.
No, it isn't. And really, what the Premier League in America, watching in America, and NBC Sports has done a great job with the Premier League, in my opinion. But now they have these fan fests, and it's amazing how many fans of Tottenham, Arsenal, Manchester United, Manchester City, Aston Villa, when they go on site, it's just incredible how popular the Premier League is. And it doesn't matter. Even when they had it at just outside of the Los Angeles Coliseum, they were there like at 4:30 in the morning because the Premier League games start at 7:30 on a Saturday morning because of the five-hour difference. It's amazing. International soccer has really gained a foothold in this country. It is more popular than the MLS, but the MLS is getting better. But international soccer is just so popular, and it will continue to be. And like I said, NBC has done a terrific job. But tough game for the U.S. today. I mean, it ended a 1-1 tie. I thought the United States was a better side for the first half by a long shot, by miles, and they were able to get that take the lead. But in the second half, they got I thought they'd be a little bit more aggressive. They kind of played a little bit.
I know that
cautious.
You were telling me it was very disappointing to get just a tie, and I kind of don't understand it because I don't follow the sport as close as many, as others do. So, why was a tie bad?
Well, when you're playing round robin and you're playing three games in your group. Say, for example, the Iran's in their group, England is in their group, Wales, and the USA. Okay, so many times the third game may not mean nothing to one of these teams. And in this case, it might actually help the United States because they play Iran last, and Iran got overrun today by England. England scored 6 goals. They won 6-2. They were never in any danger. It was 3-0 at halftime. Iran is in disarray. Iran is going through political strife. I was watching the game this morning, and when they played the Iranian national anthem, the Iranian players did not sing the national anthem. The executives that was on the bench were the coaches and the assistant coaches were, but they weren't because of the protests in Iran over the death of that young girl about 6 or 7 weeks ago.
And good on the players for sitting that out. Now, you could say, well, Alex, you didn't like when they sat out for the national anthem. Totally different reasons, right?
Oh, totally different reasons. This is a human rights type violation. A real human. I mean, a young girl was killed because she didn't have her headdress on properly. That's a totally different situation. And I have to give the players a lot of credit. I mean, you got to have a lot of guts to do what they did. And I know you noticed it right away. I mean, they weren't singing. At first, I thought maybe like some countries' national anthems have no words; they just have music. But then, when they switched to the bench and the coach and the other executives that were sitting in that area were singing, I knew exactly why. Then,
well, let's get away from the World Cup because we have a lot of weeks to talk about that and figure out, speaking of the bench, whether or not Mr. Zach Wilson will be benched this week. Look, I was focused on a lot of different games yesterday. I saw the punt return to win it for New England. I mean, much like DeSean Jackson. But really, Zach Wilson is not owning up to this loss, and I think that's bothering the Jets the most, other than the loss.
I would agree with you. And we'll talk about the game in general, and we'll get to the post game. And I watched the post game press conference, and Zach was immature and seems to be oblivious to what's going on around him. I just don't think he's ready. I mean, he's played 20 NFL games, still not a lot, but. Doesn't seem like he's ready for the important game. And you could say, well, 2 weeks ago they played Buffalo in some important game. Yeah, so it was. But yesterday's game, the Jet defense has gotten so much better so fast, probably faster than general manager Joe Douglas, head coach Robert Saleh, defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich, thought they could be at this time. They've gotten better since the first or second game of the year, better than they were against the Ravens on opening day or the Browns the second week when they won 31-30. They've put it all together. They have a lot of good young talent, but I think they thought this was a defense that they might see towards the end of this year or maybe going into next year, but the defense is way ahead of the offense, and the offense is being held back by poor quarterback play. Yes, the offensive line had a terrible day yesterday. They were dominated by the New England front seven. New England's defense might be as good as any defense in the NFL right now, and the Jets had no answers for it. It was a pathetic, pathetic performance yesterday. And 2 yards in the second half, 2 first downs, one of the worst offensive performances in Jet history. The blame, you could put the blame on Wilson. Obviously, he's an easy guy to put the blame on. But when they went in 3-3 at halftime, I said, okay, I wonder what kind of adjustments Matt LaFleur is going to make in the second half. He made no adjustments. Now, I don't know, is that because Zach Wilson just doesn't grasp it? But the play calling was atrocious. There was no half bootlegs, nothing to throw the New England defense off target. The Jets didn't play to win the game. The Jets were just hoping to survive. It was really disheartening if you were a Jets follower yesterday.
Well, so I guess the punt return is another memorable faux pas against the Patriots. Of course, they're the butt fumble team as well.
Well, the butt fumble game is totally overrated. I mean, really, who cares about the butt fumble? The Jets lost 49-19 that night. I mean, so, you know, that had nothing to do with it. They got slaughtered that Thanksgiving night. But even though the punt was supposed to go left or right, I don't know if a man who's been an excellent punter for the Jets, I mean, he did kick it to the 16-yard line. Whether, even though it was kicked down the middle, the Jets still should have been able to cover it and not allow him to get more than 10 yards. But they didn't. They lost the game. It's a learning experience for a young team that nobody thought would be 6-3 going into yesterday's game. It's a shame because the defense sacked Jones 6 times yesterday. They sacked him 6 times 3 weeks ago. They 12 sacks in 2 games against the Patriots, and the Jets lost both games because their offense didn't come through. Late this afternoon, Saleh said he hasn't made a decision on who's going to be the starting quarterback next week. See, I don't think if you sit Wilson, that doesn't mean that he's done. That, no way. I don't know why Joe Flacco isn't activated. Yes, I know he's 37 years old, but I'm going to say something. If Joe Flacco was in there yesterday, and I know that he doesn't have the maneuverability of Zach Wilson, I have a feeling he would have made a couple of plays. that probably would have got the Jets more than two first downs in the second half. They have it. They had a chance to do something, and like I said, the defense has really been outstanding, and the offense, especially the quarterback, hasn't delivered. The offensive line was terrible yesterday. I mean, they ran the ball for 59 yards, not counting Wilson's scrambles, because the offensive line couldn't open up any holes. Yes, they do miss Hall, Breece Hall, terribly, but 20 rushes for 59 yards? Terrible. The offensive line was terrible. But right, but Wilson's especially holding him back, in my opinion.
Well, and that's the consensus. Okay, we have a train, a head-on collision on Thursday, because you're going to have a Giant team after their bewildering loss to the Lions kind of sputtering in against another team that CBS cut away from because they were dominating the Vikings. Yes, it's going to be the Cowboys and the Giants on Thanksgiving. I am very nervous for the Giants after last night's loss. Should I be nervous, or can they bounce back?
In this crazy NFL this year, you can't figure out what's going to happen. But, yeah, you should be nervous. The Giants obviously did not play a good game yesterday. They had some injuries also, which is going to hurt them. The next seven games, starting with this game in Dallas on Thursday, they have a tough seven-game stretch coming up. Very, very tough stretch.
In Washington,
I still can't believe Dallas blew a 14-point lead in Green Bay last week with their defense. They were 195-0 in their history, leading by 14 going into the fourth quarter last week. Yesterday, they left no doubt. They won 40-3, and their defense is terrific. Dak Prescott played a terrific game yesterday. Tony Pollard is the best running back on the Cowboys. I mean, he was last year also. They still use Ezekiel, you know, in short yard situations, and he's still an excellent back. But, you know, there's a lot of wear and tear on Ezekiel Elliott. It's a tough spot for the Giants on Thursday. I'm not saying they can't win, but it's a tough spot. We said last week when we talked about the Lions game, we know that the Lions aren't a good team. They might be trying to turn the corner. But the one thing we did say in our discussion last week, that they can score, and they did that yesterday. So, it's a tough spot for the Giants.
I think the Lions, the next seven games are difficult. I hate to say they're competitive in the NFC North, but look, the Vikings are melting down a little bit. You got the Packers still 4-6. I mean, and you got the Bears completely out of it. Lions have some sort of chance, or am I dreaming?
No, Alex, you're dreaming. Minnesota's going to win that division. Minnesota's 8-2. They went into yesterday's game with a five-game lead in the division, or a four-game lead now that Detroit won. Detroit's not catching them. The Vikings will be okay. They just got embarrassed. Like you said, CBS cut in New York cut from the game. Dallas is good, and you know what? I don't understand why they're not dominant. They're dominant in the game, but they're not consistently dominant.
And I tell you what, the crazy part is that the Giants will then play the Commanders, who also are doing pretty well under the new name.
Yes, and they have caught lightning, a little lightning in a bottle type of situation with their new quarterback Heinicke, and there's something about him. Is he big, strong guy like a Josh Allen or a Justin Herbert or Pat Mahomes? He's not, but he's got a little, you know, that it factor. It looks like he's got command of the – he has command on the field. That's what Zach Wilson, believe it or not, needs to be a little bit like Taylor Heinicke.
Why hasn't Heinicke sponsored him yet? That's what I want to know.
Yeah. I can't believe they have it.
All right. But, and yeah, by the way, I thought Jeff Saturday was going to get another win yesterday with the Colts. They came close, but he's turned that team around a bit.
He did. And there was a play at the end of the game. They were up 13-10. And it was about 5 minutes to go.
Against the Eagles, for those who may not be familiar.
And, yes, the Colts were up over the Eagles 13-10 with 5 minutes to go. And they had first down and goal to go at the five. First couple plays don't go anywhere. Third down, they try to get the touchdown. Matt Ryan rolls out, and he's tackled, sacked. Well, the officials missed face mask penalty on Philly. They kicked the field goal, the Colts did, and then Jalen Hurts led them down the field and scored on that 10-yard quarterback draw. So that was
sort of like last week's Monday Night Football, right?
Yeah, they bounced back from the loss. They did.
Very interesting stuff, because I know that last week, that fumble on the face mask, I mean, it was a mess.
Yeah, no, that was worse. They just missed yesterday's call. But, I mean, last week, like we talked about, they were reviewing the fumble. You obviously saw the face mask penalty, and they can't review that. The NFL has to look at that in the offseason in a situation like that. They really have to. Yeah, well, we can review the fumble, but yeah, we saw the illegal face mask, but we can't call that because that's not in the rules. So I don't know.
All right, now one last thing about the NFL, because I was really intrigued to see that the Rams were playing the Chiefs. Could be a Super Bowl matchup preview heading into the season. Yet the Rams are just sort of MIA in the NFC West, and you're wondering why. I mean, what has gone on with that team?
Well, they put all their eggs in one basket last year, and it worked for them. You know, they made trades to get guys to try to win the Super Bowl last year, and they did. They've had some injuries. They've had some defections. Retirements, and they're not going anywhere. They need everything to go their way, and they haven't. And right now, Cooper Kupp is going to be gone for the rest of the year. One thing, when I was watching their game against New Orleans yesterday, Matt Stafford missed last week's game because he was in concussion protocol. He was sacked on a quote-unquote conventional sack yesterday, and he had to come out because of concussion. I have a feeling that I'm not sure how much longer he'll be able to play quarterback in the NFL. I saw that with Troy Aikman many years ago, before they had all these concussion rules and regulations and protocol in play. That was pretty scary because he went down. It wasn't that he went down hard, and he went into concussion protocol. So that's a scary thing. The Rams might be looking for a new quarterback. I don't know if Stafford can continue to play.
And you know, he's really been hurt on and off, but he finally had that healthy season last year, and then we just hope he's okay. All right, Lou, I want to switch sports because you're a hockey guy, and I think just like the Avalanche trip in, the Oilers trip in is a big test for all three teams, especially one that's, I don't know, on a 12-game win streak known as the Devils tonight.
Yeah. They're in beautiful Newark, New Jersey as we speak, and obviously they have the outstanding player in the world in Connor McDavid, and the Devil's streak will come to an end one of these nights. Nobody wins 70 games in a row, but the Devils have been outstanding. They have tremendous team speed. They're getting good goaltending, which they haven't gotten in the past. Their young guys are maturing. They have six good defensemen, and do they have a chance to make it 13? Tonight? Yeah, I think they do. They are probably, believe it or not, deeper than Edmonton, because after McDavid and Dreisaitl, you got Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, you got Evander Kane, but Evander Kane suffered the wrist injury last week, where he got the skate blade injury, which was just gruesome to look at. So, you know, they have some issues, and it can't always be Connor McDavid carrying the team. But as you said, they're playing the Devils tonight, and they play the Islanders, I think, Wednesday night at UBS.
A beautiful USB Arena.
And then on Saturday, Saturday afternoon they play the Rangers at the Garden. So that I know they play all three teams this week. So that's always a interesting situation when a team, especially from the West, comes in, and the NHL schedules that way to save on some flight miles for these teams. But all interesting right. week.
It's, all right. So speaking of flight miles, one other topic tonight, because obviously we want to know if Aaron Judge is going to take flight from New York. But I watched a series last night. I've got to recommend it to you, about the Swingin' A's, the 1970s dynastic Athletics with Charlie O. Finley, I guess. I mean, look, this is way before my time. However, I know you wanted to weigh in. And for those who didn't know, Reggie Jackson won 5 World Series in the 70s. Not just with the Yankees, but with the A's. Weigh in on that for a second.
Well, Reggie Jackson was probably the best clutch player of the 70s and even into the 80s. Charlie Finley was the owner of the then Kansas City A's, and he drafted Reggie Jackson. And I'm going to give you a quick story. The New York Mets had the first pick. And remember, they were a third-year expansion team. They had the first pick. Reggie Jackson was at Arizona State. Mets had the first pick. A's had the second pick. The Kansas City A's had the second pick. The Mets passed on Reggie Jackson and picked a catcher by the name of Steve Chilcott, who might have played 3 major league games for the Mets. And the A's picked Reggie Jackson, and Reggie Jackson made his way up quickly through the minor league system. I believe he came up in 68. In 69, he had 47 home runs, which in 1969, 47 home runs was like 57 home runs. Then in 70, the A's started to get better. They won in 71. They won the West, I believe, in 71, but lost to the Orioles. And then in 72, 73, and 74, they won the Western Division. They won the ALCS. That's all it was in those days. It was just the ALCS and the World Series. It was 3 out of 5 in the ALCS. And in Game 5 of the 72 ALCS, on a play at the plate, I believe on a double steal, Reggie slid across and he tore a hamstring, which kept him out of the 72 World Series against the Reds. The Reds were heavily favored. The A's, even though Jackson wasn't there, the A's beat them in 7. The A's won Game 7 3-2 at Riverfront Stadium in Cincinnati. And I believe Pete Rose made the last out on a fly ball to Joe Rudy. I'm almost sure of that. Then in 73, they were heavily favored against the Mets. And the Mets actually went back to Oakland and had 3-2, but the A's won Game 6 and 7. And Reggie hit a home run in Game 7, and he won World Series MVP. And then in 74, they beat the Dodgers in 5. They split the first 2 games in L.A. and then 3 games in Oakland. The A's won fairly convincingly. Terrific team. 75, they won the division again, but they lost to the Red Sox in the ALCS. The Red Sox lost that famous World Series to the Cincinnati Reds in 7 games. So it was a good run for them. And then in 76, they started trading the guys, and free agency started, and they lost Catfish Hunter, and they to the Yankees. They lost Reggie to the Yankees. They actually traded him to the Baltimore Orioles for the 76 season because they knew they weren't going to re-sign him. Joe Rudy signed, I believe, with the Red Sox. They lost all their guys. It wasn't good. But that A's team was a great team. Great defensive team, great pitching, great bullpen, obviously led by Raleigh Fingers. And they had clutch hitters. They really did.
And they won in spite of their owner, yet at the end of the documentary they say, well, if he didn't get all those guys together, who knows what they would have done. So you got to give him some credit, Charlie O.
Well, Charlie O was a unique guy. He was a cheap guy. He tried to buy the Philadelphia Athletics back in 1954. That was their last year in Philadelphia before they moved to Kansas City. Then he was able to buy, I believe, a minority share around 59 or 60. He actually was going to move the A's before they moved to Oakland. He was going to move them to Louisville in either 64 or 65. But I forgot what happened there and it never panned out. They moved to Oakland, and the rest is really history. They had a successful run there with those. Oh, and they had, you know, look at the pitching staff they had. They had Vida Blue. They had Catfish Hunter. They really had some. They had Kenny Holtzman. They had some terrific teams. And Dick Williams was their manager for the most part, and Alvin Dark was also their manager, and then Billy Martin was their manager for a year or two after he left the Yankees for, I don't know what time, his first time, his second time before he went back. And he won a division in 80, and they actually lost to the Yankees in 80 in the playoffs. But Charlie O was a unique guy. He actually
talked about his passionate love of baseball. You could just hear in his voice he loves the game. I mean, every time we talk, Lou, I feel like he just loved the game. One more thought on the 70s. You know what Pete Rose did, right?
He just recently asked Manfred
to be in the Hall of Fame. Did you see that letter by chance?
Oh, I did see that, and Manfred said no. Manfred said the indefinite suspension stays indefinite, so he's not. I actually thought by now they might let him in.
I don't know. It's funny because Cincinnati will now allow gambling in their stadium. So go figure.
Yeah, no, it's true. It seems like a little bit of a hypocrisy, but one last thing about Charlie Finley. He pushed for World Series games at night, which is a good thing, which was a good thing. He actually pushed for the designated hitter. He actually had, in 1974, because he believed there should have been a designated runner also, he signed a track star, Herb Washington, that the A's used in 1974 to pinch run. He never batted. Because the guy never batted in his life, but they use him as a pinch runner. And in the only game that the Dodgers won, Game 2 of the 1974 World Series, Mike Marshall in relief, who was a Cy Young Award winner as a relief pitcher for the Dodgers in 1974, picked Herb Washington off in the ninth inning at first base. So that's just a little tidbit for people who may remember Herb Washington.
Well, on that note, next week we got to talk about the ballot because the new Hall of Fame ballot is out, so we got to review that. But one last thing, Kyrie was back last night. Are you satisfied with his public apologies? He did like one after the other, it seemed like. But will the Nets have a chemistry? Simmons is now having issues again. I don't know. It seems like they never get their act together.
Well, actually, Simmons, the last two games has played well. Last night he has. His last two games have been his best two games as a Net. Last night he was excellent. With Kyrie, I assume you don't know with Kyrie because he is eccentric. You don't know what's going to happen. I assume he's going to be a little bit more aware of what's going on. Obviously, the Nets need him. Any team would need one of the five or six best players in the NBA. Will I develop chemistry? I hope so. I mean, Durant has been spectacular from day one, and Kyrie was really excellent and spectacular until the suspension. I think he is heartfelt in his apology, but you don't know what's going to happen down the road. I actually think if they're not going anywhere in February, I think they might try to trade him at the trade deadline. I don't think they're going to get much from him because he'd be a rental. He'd be a free agent at the end of the year. But I can tell you one thing. Jock Vaughn has made them a different team. He really has. He's made them a different team. They just seem to be more in tune of what's going on. They may not go anywhere. This year they're not as good as they were 2 years ago. It was good to see Simmons have a couple of good games in a row. And they might use Simmons off the bench, you know, and play him 25, 30 minutes. He is coming off major back surgery, even though he's only 25 years old. So we'll see. I mean, the NBA is a very strange league right now.
Well, Lou, I appreciate this as always. We got a lot more to talk about. But first things first, happy Thanksgiving. And hope you enjoy it with yours and your family this week.
Mm-hmm. You too. Say hello to everybody in your family, and you know I love doing this. And we will talk again next week. I mean, after a big college football weekend coming up, also we'll know more. It won't be finalized, but we'll know more about who's going to be the four teams in the college football playoff.
I guess whoever wins OSU, UM might be that playoff spot. So,
yeah, that's where. That's going to be that's the tricky one because Ohio State and Michigan, one of them is going to lose. I think Ohio State's going to win on Saturday. Then if TCU loses, do they take two SEC teams and do they take Michigan and Ohio State? I don't know. I mean, what TCU did on Saturday, and I was watching that game live, how they did the fire drill field goal attempt. I did not think they were going to get it off. And they ran it to perfection. None of the kids panicked. The snapper gave the holder a perfect snap, and the kid kicked it through, and they were able to win the game and move forward. Now, this week, TCU plays Iowa State. Then they probably play Kansas State in the Big 12 championship game. That's going to be tough. We'll see.
All right, Lou. Well,
and don't
always
forget
a pleasure.
USC,
you
know USC,
what I'm thinking
Notre
is
Dame
for our first couple of minutes of next week's segment, we should interview a Bills Mafia member that was there with the Bills documenting their journey in Detroit. Maybe I'll look and see if we can get someone because that's an interesting story in and of itself.
That would be great. Yeah, I heard for some of those people, they had to go through Canada. They had to go through Windsor, Ontario, and then go through the tunnel. And I've actually been in Detroit, and I've gone through that tunnel to Windsor, but it was so long ago, I forget the name of the tunnel. But I know a lot of fans had to do that to get to the game. And Detroit is going to be home for the Bills this week, as they'll be playing on Thanksgiving Day in 12 o'clock.
That's a story in the making. So we'll cover that for you guys on the next Terminello Take. Lou, love you, man, and thanks for doing this as always. And I cannot believe how fast November's going already.
Time does fly for sure. No truer cliche than time flies.
All right, sir. Enjoy this upcoming week of sports, and we'll have another Lou Terminello Take next week.
Thank you, Alex. You're the best.
That was another Garrett Sports Spotlight on Lou Terminello. And, Lou, happy Thanksgiving once again.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and your dad and your mom and everybody. I appreciate it.
Have a great night, everybody.